In the Mid-Atlantic program, we've been doing a lot of work on nutrient trading and stuff like that. So what you have here is a primer on nutrient trading that we wrote, an extension piece that's basically looking at sort of educating people as to what nutrient trading is. And then there's two inserts that go to the primer, one describing a little bit of the Virginia plan and one describing the Pennsylvania plan. And if you don't get a copy of this, all of this stuff is up on the website for the Mid-Atlantic Water Program, and their website, I didn't put it on here, is mawaterquality.org. So it's a pretty easy site to find. There's other stuff up there as well. So we've been working trying to sort of produce some information about trading, because there's a lot of talk about trading in our region, and I know there's talk in lots of other areas of the country as well. And there's a lot of misinformation in terms of, is trading going to solve the day? You know, is it this wonderful thing that's going to take care of these problems, which you've been hearing about so far in this session, of how are we going to get all of these BMPs on the land? How are we going to meet those tributary strategy goals? How are we going to meet the bigger Chesapeake Bay 2000 type goals and deal with it? Well, so I want to start a little bit and talk a little bit about what is water quality trading, and then we'll move into sort of what's going on the ground in our region. What there is of it going on the ground in our region. So water quality credit trading really is just a tool, okay, to help us meet these water quality goals, okay? The idea behind it is that we need to do a lot of things on the ground, but maybe we need some flexibility, okay? Instead of telling everybody to do X, Y, and Z, let's give them some choices. Trading sort of allows them to maybe do things in a more cost-effective way is really the goal of most trading programs. Why is it a big deal in the Mid-Atlantic or in the Susquehanna Basin as well? Well, it's this Chesapeake 2000 agreement you've already heard about, the fact that we portioned out these trip strategies and we said, look, you know, Watershed X, Susquehanna, Potomac, whoever you are, you need to meet these goals, okay? How are you going to do it? Well, trading is sort of a tool to help us do that, okay? Because we know that if we try to say point sources do everything you can and go beyond it, that's going to be too much money. And in fact, even if they did do that, as you saw from the results earlier, we're not going to meet those goals anyway. So we need trading maybe as a tool, okay, but it's not something that necessarily comes in and solves the problem. What is trading? Very basic. So this is sort of out of the primer that we gave you. You know, the idea behind trading is maybe you've got a wastewater treatment plant that can clean up phosphorus at, like, say, $30 a unit. A farm can do it at $10 a unit. If they each do one unit, you've got a $50 cost. But if you allow trading, maybe the treatment plant then can buy an extra unit from the farmer and do a little less themselves and create a $10 savings. Okay, and the idea behind trading, though, then is that $10 savings goes somewhere. Okay, some of it may go to the farmer, some of it stays with the treatment plant. Okay, but basically, in general, society is better off by $10 by not forcing, say, the treatment plant to do all of the work. What about state trading programs? Okay, well, setting up trading programs turns out to be quite difficult. Okay, there's a lot of different pieces that need to go into it. The first one, of course, is setting a public water quality goal. So when you look sort of at the Susquehanna or whatever, okay, those are our trip strategies that we've been talking about in this session. Some of the other things we need to have there. So you need to set kind of a goal. Okay, what do we need to do with our water quality to get there? Then you've got sort of this, okay, in order to reach that goal, what do we need to get the pollution levels to? So that's the idea of a pollution cap for a watershed. So really the first two parts of trading often are what you see in the regulatory arena, okay? They're the people getting together and say, what do we need to do to get to this water quality? We need swimmable, fishable, or meeting these fish standards or breeding standards, things like that, and setting a cap for the watershed. Those are things that we're already doing, really, okay? You get down to needing a regulated baseline, okay? That's coming off of the pollution cap for the watershed, okay? Is that we might need a baseline for the point sources, and we might also need an unregulated baseline for the agricultural non-point sources, okay? We can't just expect agriculture to do nothing and come into a trading program and start putting things in, okay? Agriculture, in most trading programs, if you want to participate in the program, there's a threshold or a baseline you've got to meet before you can even start. Okay, because if we allow people to just start trading away things which they need to be sort of doing anyway, we're not really going to reach those water quality goals. What is the credit? Okay, what are you trading? Is it a pound of nitrogen? Is it a pound of phosphorus? What form of nitrogen or phosphorus are you trading? So all of these things start coming into play. Who are going to be the buyers and sellers in your program? Are you going to allow non-point sources to participate? Are you going to allow urban non-point sources to participate in trading programs? We're sort of looking at programs now saying, well, maybe we can get the urban developers involved in stormwater and sediment retention and give them some flexibility rather than just building a bunch of pond size X here, and we know somehow that may or may not work so well. Trading ratios become sort of an issue in trading programs. There's a lot of different types of ratios, okay? One of the ratios that's most debated is usually what's called the uncertainty ratio. And the idea behind that is that we usually have a pretty good idea of what we're getting out of a point source when we install a technology, okay, in terms of nutrient reduction. Okay, but as Tom said, you know, when you get to agriculture and you install a BMP, there's a little bit more doubt about what you're getting out of that. And some of that's based on uncertainty in the science, but a lot of it also is, of course, the stochastic uncertainty that it's involved in the weather and the, you know, just the natural systems involved, okay? And of course, there's some stochastic uncertainty in the point sources as well, but the bounds are bigger in agriculture or for non-point sources. So that's one type of trading ratio. Other trading ratios are things like delivery ratios, okay? So if you're worried about water quality in the Chesapeake Bay, obviously, if you clean up a pound of nitrogen, you know, 1 mile from the bay upstream versus 100 miles from the bay upstream versus getting up into New York State, okay, the amount of nitrogen, you know, delivered to the bay from those sources is, of course, going to be different. So we have trading ratios to account for that, okay? And then what's the role of the regulator in the trading program? Okay, obviously, we need some kind of people watching to see that things are going on, see if things are getting done, okay? Going back to sort of the pollution cap for a watershed, one of the issues there in trading programs is, are you looking at what we sometimes call a cap and trade program, or are you looking at an offset program? And a cap and trade program is basically where you say, okay, look, this is what you can, you know, here's a cap on how much you, source X, can put into the watershed. Okay, now you can trade. If you can get below the cap, you can sell stuff. If you're above the cap, you've got to go buy stuff. Okay, an offset program is more where what you're looking at is future growth and future potential. Okay, so you might say, okay, well, look, you're okay where you are today, but if you want to add to your load, you need to offset that by buying some credits over here from somebody else. Okay, and one of the things we're seeing in our region, of course, is we've got a lot of population growth. Okay, so offset is certainly a big part of it. Okay, because what we're doing is we're saying, look, some communities, you know, you're at your cap, you're where you can be. Okay, but, you know, 10 years from now, of course, you're seeing population growth. Where are you going to make up for that? And that's sort of where you go, and maybe a trading program allows you to incorporate the population growth. Now, of course, what you see when you're doing that kind of a program is all you're doing is standing still, right? You're not necessarily getting better. You're just stopping yourself from getting worse because of this population growth. So trading programs can be tricky if you think they're cleaning up water when it really all they're doing is holding you still. Okay, but they don't all act that way. It depends on how it's set up. And every trading program is different. The EPA sort of has the general trading guidelines, and each state creates their own trading programs. So where are we sort of in the Mid-Atlantic, and how does that relate to the Susquehanna? Well, we have two states right now with existing trading programs, Pennsylvania and Virginia, and that's why I passed out that little state insert on those two states. And we have three states that are creating trading programs, Maryland, West Virginia, and Delaware. One of the reasons we had made those state inserts separate from the primer is the primer is sort of a long-term document. It's information. It'll last 5-10 years. The state programs are changing. As Maryland, West Virginia, and Delaware create programs, we're going to be making state inserts for them as well. And Pennsylvania and Virginia, while they have programs on the ground, of course they see changes. These things really are sort of experimental in a way. What's happened on the ground? Well, I'll talk a little bit about the programs in a minute, but just to let you know, so far there have been zero trades in the area, okay? Not surprising. Pennsylvania program's been out there for like a year now. Virginia's still sort of gearing up, and the other states are sort of working on it. Pennsylvania's program, they do have, I think, last I looked, three sell offers, okay? Three people basically who have come together and found some nutrient reductions, and basically most of it's been somebody's come in and said, look, I'll haul the manure out of the watershed to another farm area where it's going to be used well, properly, whatever, you know, within regulations. And there'll be some kind of a nutrient savings there by taking that poultry litter out of the watershed rather than having it applied to the land and the runoff coefficients, which come from the BMP efficiencies and things like that. So we've had some sell offers in Pennsylvania. Nobody's bought them yet, but they're all pretty small at this point. But like I said, the program's really only been up and running for, I don't know, 6-9 months now. So it's we may see more action in the future. The other thing to remember, of course, is some of these programs are being set up with the idea, as I said, about this future offset. Okay, well, maybe what we need to do is set up a program so that we can be ready 5 years from now when we really start hitting that crunch because of population growth and other, you know, economic growth in our subsectors, that will allow us to have that growth. So sometimes you can set up a trading program, really not expect to have any trades for 3 or 4 years. Okay, so it's not one of the things, a separate kind of talk I give is on trading program evaluation, and one of my first points to give is what's the goal of a trading program? Water quality, low cost, things like that. It's not number of trades. Number of trades has nothing to do with whether a program might be successful or not. So talking a little bit about the programs, I'm going to talk a little bit mostly about the Virginia and the Pennsylvania program. The Virginia program is run through what's called the Virginia Chesapeake Bay Nutrient Credit Exchange, and basically it's a group of all of the point sources or the major point sources in the region getting together and operating this exchange that allows them to do things. Pennsylvania's is run out of the Department of Environmental Quality, so Pennsylvania's trading of nutrients. What are they trading? In Virginia, it's nitrogen and phosphorus. In Pennsylvania, it's nitrogen and phosphorus, and they've added sediment to it as well. What are the caps? Again, nitrogen, phosphorus, and nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment in there. The participants, okay, so who's allowed to play in the game? In Virginia, you're allowing the point sources to play, the non-point sources, the Nutrient Credit Exchange, which is the association of point sources. So they're, in a sense, the aggregator, and that's the market is taking place within this exchange. And then you have this thing, the Water Quality Improvement Fund, which is sort of an out, okay? And what it's saying is if you look and you can't find anybody to trade to, you can pay money into this Water Quality Improvement Fund, which is run by the state, which will basically, the idea is somehow buy the credits for you through cost share programs or something like that. And the idea is that hopefully the price of the Water Quality Improvement Fund is going to be significantly higher than what the market price may end up to be, so you don't bail out too quickly. I mean, you're looking for people to make trades, but this is sort of an out at twice the price of what they might expect a trade to be. As I said, it's sort of all new, so none of this is set in stone yet in terms of what those prices are. In Pennsylvania, the point sources, again, are allowed to play in the game, the non-point sources. We have aggregators, okay, so basically, you know, you think about it, you're a wastewater treatment plant, you don't want to be going out and finding 120 farmers who you need to plant cover crops for you. That's not your business, okay? So you look to an aggregator, somebody else who's already working with farmers and knows the people, you know, and so you've got one point contact, an aggregator, you know, who goes out and does that. And third parties are allowed in Pennsylvania as well, so you can actually have other groups coming in, for instance, perhaps even an environmental or fishing groups or Ducks Unlimited or something like that could actually participate in it as well if they wanted to buy credits. Going back to that baseline issue, what are the baselines? In Virginia, point sources essentially must develop a plan to meet their allocation, okay? And then if they can't meet their allocation with that plan, they can trade with other point sources, okay? And then if they can't find a trade, then they can go to this Water Quality Improvement Fund. And those are for existing point sources. Any new point sources, okay, must meet the limit of control. Then they've got to acquire sort of offsets from other point sources, and then they can go to agriculture to get offsets, but they have to acquire offsets from agriculture at a ratio of 2-1. And that's that uncertainty ratio I was talking about before, where they're concerned about, well, we really don't know, we're not so confident about those agricultural things, so we're going to make you buy 2 pounds for every pound you're supposed to produce, okay? Which, of course, from an economic standpoint, me being probably one of the sole economists in this convention center right now, so I'm a little bit afraid. Although I heard that the Minister of Economics or something was here from Iceland, I think he said. So I was hoping to run into him in the hall somewhere and compare notes. But anyway, basically what it does is it doubles the cost of buying a credit, right? You got to buy 2 instead of 1. Pennsylvania, the point sources have to sort of meet their concentration limits. And then once they meet those concentration limits, this is sort of the growth scenario again, then they can trade with either point or non-point. And the Pennsylvania program has a ratio of 1.1-1 instead of the 2-1 you see in Virginia. The non-point source baselines, Virginia really hasn't set their baseline yet. What it says in the law is that you have the credits for activities beyond currently required or funded by federal and state law. Okay, so, you know, they actually have, the state laws in Virginia require nutrient management plans for all poultry operations and stuff like that. So those have to be implemented before you're allowed to trade. In Pennsylvania, you have to meet existing state requirements, and then they add sort of a second tier upon that. You have to do one of these three things here, which is either a 100-foot setback, 35-foot buffer, or somehow you have to say, okay, I've reduced my pollutant load by 20%. Now you can do that in a number of ways. You can just apply less fertilizer or something of that nature. One of the big issues in these programs which has come up is, can you trade what I call publicly funded credits? It's really cost-shared things. You know, if you're getting money from EQIP, can you then go and trade that cost-shared program? Virginia has said no to that. Pennsylvania has said yes, although it's actually interesting. Pennsylvania said, yes, you can trade publicly cost-shared credits unless the funder of that credit claims to own the credit. Okay, so NRCS has said, look, if we fund a cost share, it's yours, okay? So you could trade the whole thing. So if you get a 75% cost share, it's not that you can only trade 25%. You can trade 100%. But in Pennsylvania's case, but they actually have a couple of state cost share programs where the state claims to own it, and so you can't trade those. Okay, so Pennsylvania, it gets a little complicated, and they're trying to figure out where it is, which is partly why they're trying to look at this. But trading ratios, again, both of the programs use delivery ratios. Where do they get delivery ratios? They call Jeff and say, well, what does your model say? Okay, and actually, one of the advantages we have in the Chesapeake Bay is that we can set up something like a trading program because we have all of this other work, right? You need to know, what are BMP efficiencies? What are BMP efficiencies potentially, you know, under different soil types, different conditions, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, once that nutrient moves into the stream, how much is getting to the Chesapeake Bay where you're making this trade? So a lot of information has to be available before you can have a very good functioning trading program, especially if you're going to have one that's on the scale that we're talking about here, as opposed to a very small watershed. So a lot of that information, basically the trading programs say, well, okay, where are we going to get our information for setting these things? They say, point at the Chesapeake Bay model, okay, and say, okay, we're using the BMPs from the Bay model. We're using the delivery ratios and the edge of segment ratios from the Bay model. Now, there's a problem with that, because what people are doing is they're saying, I want a five-year whatever contract to buy this BMP, and that's going to give me this many credits for my trading program, right? But Tom just told you that they're going to start updating those BMPs every 3 to 5 years, right? So what happens when all of a sudden your credit just went up or down, probably, but maybe up? Tom doesn't like it at all, but he's good at ducking and covering. He's got a pretty thick skin for this kind of stuff too. So anyway, it's hard to figure out. And most people like certainty when they're dealing with trading programs, because a lot of money's on the line. So that's an issue with these programs there. And then the other big issue with trading programs is tributary strategies that we've heard of before. Okay, if, as according to some of these models, the state said, we're going to implement the tributary strategies to meet these water quality goals, and if you go and look at those tributary strategies, some of these watersheds are implementing 90%, you know, BMP cover. Okay, so if you've already said, I'm going to put, you know, 90 cover crops on 80-90% of the land or whatever it is, that doesn't leave you a lot left to trade, does it? Okay. Well, depends on how the trading program comes up with their numbers. Okay. So Virginia's still working on it, but essentially they're going to change their non-point source baseline to say you have to meet those tributary strategy goals before you can trade. Okay. Which means you've got a long way before you're trading. Okay. Because before you can trade, you've got to put on a nutrient management plan, a cover crop, have some setback. I don't know all of them, but there's a lot. So you're only left with a little bit left to trade. For Pennsylvania, sort of is the trades come first philosophy, is what I call it. Okay, and what they do is they say, well, okay, well, look, this watershed is supposed to have 60% cover crop cover. Okay, so therefore we'll allow people to trade until we hit 40%, and then anything beyond that's the part we call the tributary strategy, right? So Pennsylvania's program is, to use Tom's favorite term there, they're getting the low-hanging fruit first in the trading program, and then the hard stuff somehow is going to materialize in these tributary strategies, which we don't have implementation for. Virginia's flipped it around and said, no, wait a minute. Before you can get those easy, you know, we're going to take the easy things on the public money and let the trading programs do it that way. That's the real sticking point in our area. on trading programs, and it's the things basically the state agencies have done their best to ignore and not talk about. They know it's there, and they know it, but they don't really like talking about it because it stirs things up, gets people upset. What's going on in the other states, real quickly? They're all working on it, is sort of my answer. Maryland pretty much has point source guidelines completed, although they haven't been publicly released. Non-point source ag guidelines are being drafted as we speak. The first draft is supposed to be out, I think, by the end of January. I think they just gave themselves another month. But they're working on that. Basically, the Maryland Department of Environment said, non-point source ag guidelines, Department of Ag, that's your problem. So they're running around trying to write those. The Maryland program, I'll go down, I guess, on this one, is going to be a cap and trade type program, and basically saying, you know, look, treatment plants, you've got to meet your cap first, and then if you're trying to go over your cap, then you can start trading. But you can't trade to meet the cap is sort of the thing. So instead of putting in you got to put in all the technology first, and then if you still need more, then you can start trading is basically. And they have, like I said, they're still unsure how they're going to address the tributary strategies. West Virginia also is drafting guidelines. They're supposed to be out by 2009. They're looking, you know, they're expanding it a little bit. They're looking at trading nutrient sediments and maybe some acid mine drainage kind of stuff going on there. I'm not quite sure where that is. And then also they talk about, they don't really know yet, trading as a tool to help implement tributary strategies. Not really sure how that's going to work out yet. I'm hoping someone will keep me posted. I'll keep you posted when I hear. Delaware actually has provisions in their trading, in their code already written that say about trading and what should happen in the state. They see trading also to help implement BMPs. Not clear how the TRIP strategies will work. Essentially with trading in most of the cases actually is that you don't really need a trading program to trade. Okay, the EPA already allows it as long as you get it into the NPDES permits structure. Okay. But the trading program, the idea behind it is if you set up a program, it might help you make trading a little bit easier. Challenges in trading, of course. The challenges, again, relate mostly to point source, non-point source trades, setting those guidelines, setting those pollutant caps, basically all the usual stuff you see anytime you're trying to clean up a watershed. You know, everybody's got a little property right interest here, and it's money to different people and different money to different people. So how's that going to work? The complexities, again, things like, you know, what are the BMP efficiencies? And then once you know those efficiencies, how do you translate that into the watershed model and, you know, figure out whether you're actually getting, okay, what you need from that. And then finally, I just wanted to point out there's a lot of people have sort of helped me on this whole set of work here. And we have people in each of the states working on it, as well as Kristen Saki-Blunk at Penn State, who helped put a lot of this together. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you very much.